And may God bless you. I brought some friends and family with me this evening. Terry Jones will be ministering to us in a short while. Dawn, my wife, Janice, and Howard Freeman, who's going to lead us in prayer for a little while, and Janice is going to bring us something now. So if you'd like to come up.
Failures or hopeless unsaved sinners if we enlist the help of God who makes all losers winners. So meet him in the morning and go with him through the day and thank him for his guidance each evening when you pray. And if you follow faithfully the daily way to pray, you will never in your lifetime face another hopeless day. For like a soaring eagle, you too can rise above the storms of life around you on the wings of a prayer and love.
Let us pray. Heavenly Father, I thank you that you have chosen me to take part in this service of worship to you tonight. I thank you for the gift of music. Music sung and played for your glory. I thank you for all the blessings you give each and every one of us. I ask you to send a blessing upon Chris tonight as he brings us your word. Words that will help us to grow near to you so that the in you will grow closer to us. Heavenly Father, I do thank you for all that you have done in our lives. We do pray this evening for those who mourn at this time, those who are sick, those in hospitals, nursing homes, care homes. We pray for all the doctors, nurses and carers. Heavenly Father, may your presence be shown through these people who care as you cared for us. I thank you, Jesus, for loving me before I ever loved you. We pray also this evening for the world situation. In the name of Jesus, I ask for peace in the Middle East, North Africa. We pray for all those Christians caught up in the traumas of their land. Make them be a light to others. We pray for this fellowship and all the work that it does in the community. May the people involved will show a likeness of you, as in many cases, we are the only Jesus that some will ever see. I do then thank you for choosing me this evening to do this work for you in my daily life. And I thank you, Lord, that you are here this evening as our guest of honour. Open our spiritual eyes tonight, Lord. Open our spiritual ears that we may know more of you. We do then pray for one another. May that Spirit of the Living God touch each one here tonight. We pray for our families, whether they are near or far. We do pray that you are a listening God. Give us that perseverance then, Lord, as we go about in our daily lives in this coming week, that you will lighten the path for us and help us to share the love that you have shown to us, to others, so that they may know that Jesus Christ can be a Saviour to all who believe in him. Now let us say the prayer that he taught his disciples when they asked him, how do we pray? And he said, Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come,
thy will be done,
on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread,
and forgive us our trespasses,
as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation,
but deliver us from evil.
For thine is the kingdom, the power, and the glory, forever and ever. Amen.
Terry has a unique gift from God. He's a member of Griffithstone Baptist Church, and this was given to him quite a few years ago now, and he's up to his 31st volume. So, Terry, over to you.
Thank you. It's lovely to be with you. It's my nerves coming on. I expected a staid church. Mm-hmm. I'd never been to around this vicinity, and in my mind, I expected a staid church, you know, with all the familiar faces. But if there's anybody here would like an invitation, this is one. Come and love the Lord a little. Come, and you will love him more. Come, and when your heart is softened, come and see the blessings pour. Come to him and ask forgiveness. Come, there is no time to wait. Come today and not tomorrow. Come because the hour is late. Come to him, O you who sorrow. Come if you are in despair. Come and lay it all before him. Come to him in fervent prayer. Come and know that he is mighty. Come, and he will make you whole. Come and ask the Lord to save you. Come, and he will save your soul. There should have been a speaker outside. All for love. Imagine that you came to church, and you're the only one. Sitting there all by yourself. The others hadn't come. To sing a hymn all by yourself. As no one else is there. Then take around the offering bag and lead yourself in prayer. You'd find it rather lonely. It would not be the same. And soon you would be wondering at why on earth you came. It can't be for the building, the carpets, or your pew. It must be for the love you share with those right next to you. I'll leave you with this one. It's just a little short one. It's called If. If I can just touch one heart in a crowd, as if it was sunlight that breaks through a cloud. If I can but reach one person I meet, my life has accomplished a mission complete. If I can just stir the mind with a word and bring them salvation with something they've heard. If words from the Spirit has set you apart. Remember, it's Jesus who's touching your heart. Amen.
Terry thought when he came into the church, because he's a fitter by trade, God would have him messing with the pipework and the radiators and this sort of thing. And he said to the Lord, "Use me, Lord." And it was a complete shock to him.
No. This
evening's reading is one verse. The final verse of Judges 21. That's Judges chapter 21 and the final verse. It's verse 25. And in fact, it's repeated or started off in 17:6. But it's Judges, just before Ruth, 21, verse 25. Judges 21, verse 25. Okay, Judges 21, verse 25 is the last verse of Judges. In those days, there was no king in Israel. Everyone did what was right in his own eyes. Let's pray. Father, I would ask right now that you would bless your word. Bless it as it's been ministered to us now. Let it be a medicine for our souls, our minds, our bodies, our spirit. Jesus, allow us to understand what you would say to us right now. Let it change who and what we are and allow us to grow closer to you. So that we would hear you and see you clearly. So that we are able to embrace your wisdom and bring it into our lives. And God's loved people said. Amen. So I bring greetings from Pontier Baptist Church, where I am a lay pastor. Also, I bring greetings from Griffithstown Baptist Church, where I am a member, and my pastor is the Avon Lloyd Thomas. If you ever invite him along, he has a slightly different ministry, but he sends his blessings and prayers to you, and I know he'll be praying for us tonight. I wonder if you feel everything in your life is out of control, that it seems like the world is in chaos. If perhaps your finances are tipping over end, they're in turmoil. You're forced to make decisions that you do not wish to make. And those decisions seem to be at odds of how you ought to live your life. Perhaps your health is not as it should be. Is it that your family are strangers to you? Is it that our land no longer has any justice inside of it, and it seems those who commit the crime are treated far better than those who suffer the crime? Then you, as God's people, are in good company. For this land has forgotten that God reigns, not us. As a Western nation, we have great difficulty in understanding God's word. Because you see, it talks about king and kingdoms. While this country has had a monarch for thousands of years, they've not really ruled us. We were once called the United Kingdom, but now that unitedness is steadily being eroded. It's been fragmented, it's been broken up. This means our understanding of identity in a kingdom which is protected and secured and loved by someone who rules us is absent. And this means we fail to understand what kingdom living is all about. we fail to understand that our God, our King, rules over us. But because of our lack of understanding, then much of the blessing he should be providing us, we cannot receive because we do not know how to live and react within a kingdom. We live in a democracy, but our God's kingdom is a theocracy. And if we have no concept of what that is, it means that we lose a huge amount of blessings that we as Christians and those who are non-believers should receive in their life. We miss out on the power and blessing that God wishes to provide us as a people and pour into our lives, which should be our experience as Christians as we walk in the Christian way. Now, apart from Table 8, if I was to ask you, who was Israel's first king, what would you say? Pardon? David? No, Saul? Any more on Saul? No? If I was to ask you that question, you know what it says in God's word. Some would say crazy Saul. You know what he got up to in the way he allowed the blessing of God to fall through his life. He was, if you like, the first physical king, and you would be correct. But really, you would be wrong, for it was God. God. God had a true king. A king who was living, who has been living for all eternity. And he was their true king. When God took his people out of bondage from Egypt, from a king, a Pharaoh, who abused and tortured and tormented them, and that Pharaoh, that king, only protected them because he wanted their labor, what did God want from his people? He just wanted their worship. He said, let my people go to come into the wilderness to worship me. To worship me. He wanted to love them. He wanted to bless them. He wanted to encourage them and give them freedom once more. For they were a people under the domination of slavery. And with that freedom, they would gain a privileged position. Do you understand you as individuals are the sons, adopted sons and daughters of the King upon high? Do you realize that position that gives you as a people, as an individual, that you have the very ear of God, for you are prince and princesses. You're not common people, you're special people. And that isn't trying to blow you up. Rather, that's to show what our King has done for us as a people. Thank you. God wanted to encourage them, give them a place, a privileged position, so they are able to worship him, the true living God. During their journey through to the promised land, because of their privileged position, they never grew sick. Their clothes and shoes didn't wear out. They could not be defeated in battle. And as long as they obeyed God, he was able to bless them. Not when they disobeyed God. He couldn't bless them. And that wasn't punishment. But it was because of their disobedience and the fact that they turned away from him and they fell out of God's plan, which meant the blessings which were due them could not be delivered to them. This is a portion of what is meant by living under the kingdom of God. For you see, living in the kingdom of God brings blessing. I told you this morning the fact, wherever God is, that where heaven is. And if we are the children of God, then we should be experiencing heaven upon this earth. We may have a portion, we may have a great deal. It's up to us. How much heaven that you want in your life. Living in the kingdom of God brings blessing, it brings purpose, it brings meaning into our life. Our reading comes from a time when the Hebrew nation had no physical king. They wanted what everybody else had. They rejected God as their king and said, we want a king. And because they didn't have a king, and because they rejected God, they said, in those days there was no king of Israel. Everyone did what was right in his own eyes. And that could describe our country today, couldn't it? Rather than be a people with blessing and power, they had become a nation with no king, for they rejected God, and they did what every individual thought was right. And this is the same for us today. Everyone is doing what they think is right in their own eyes. And that means our God is excluded and rejected. The people have no idea about kingdom living or about righteousness. But how much do you do if you profess that Jesus is Lord in your life? The people's will rules rather than God. And we do not understand or recognize the difference between how God should be interacting in our lives and what we believe our lives should be. I wonder what king is in your life. Is it your family, your car, your job, your health, how you look, your talents and capabilities you have, the money that is provided to you, the status that you've acquired within this church or the community, the rights that you demand as an individual, and the wants that you insist upon? God said to the Egyptian people, set my people free. But the Pharaoh would not. The people of Israel, you see, were slaves. And even though God knew that they would gain their freedom, they would always feel that they were running away. So God had to destroy that which once owned them. They could never look back upon their slavery, even though it beckoned them, which owned them. To correct this, God destroyed that which would forever keep them wondering, looking over their shoulders as they thought they were running away, that someone might come back and grasp them and take them back to captivity to enslave them once more. You see, when Christ came, and when you brought your life to him, he allowed you to see your past life be destroyed. The things that would enslave you in your life. If you were honest and you brought your heart before him and you gave everything to him, Christ was prepared to take that which would enslave you from the past and cast it away from you. But were you honest? Did you want to keep something of your past? Did you want to keep something that would bring you comfort, but in fact destroys your life, that new life that Christ has given you? Are you a slave on the run? Are you looking back over your shoulder to that which kept you in bondage? And are you trying to run away from it? Are your slave masters hot on your heels? Are they your finances, your family, your peace of mind, the job that you had, the circumstances of your relationship? Are they catching up with you? Are you expecting to be found out? Well, Christ has already found out, for there is nothing that's secret in your life from him. And he just says, give it to me and I will give you freedom. Stop looking over your shoulder and say, here it comes again. Gain your freedom if you desire it, if you want it. Are you able to say to the Lord, enough, Lord, I give it to you. Take it from me and give me the life that you promised. I no longer want to be a slave, but rather I wish to be a servant, for a servant gets to do rather than is forced to do. Do you have a life of freedom, or do you have a love of the dread of falling back under the dominion of your slave master, the king of this world? When we come to Christ to gain freedom, we have our part to do. Though we're not on our own, for Christ is with us. Christ transforms us. This doesn't mean that we act peculiar or strange. By no means, when God says we are a holy people, it means we're involved in the world and providing God's wisdom to the world. We're not hermits and estranged, but rather we're in action and we enact with the world. We are Christ's example, active and alive, and we relish it. We never hate it. And we dispense the medicine of God in the world.
Chris always catches me. This is called a little lost. When your journey takes a detour and you leave the Savior's side, the world is so enticing. When you mislay your guide, it's when you leave the pathway, the place where you were safe, get tempted by the evil one, and lose a little faith. Not all is lost to Satan. You're in the world, it's true, but the love of Christ, your Savior, will keep his eye on you. The Lord will not forsake you out in the world alone. His love will light your pathway and guide you safely home.
The issue is that we get polluted with other people's ideas, just as Terry was demonstrating there in that poem that he receives from the Holy Spirit. We get enticed by other people's ideas and way of living. That must be a better way. The world's values, the world's justice, the world's peace and ambition should be in our lives, should be in our church, our worship and our God. But rather our God sets the agenda. Our God tells us what justice is. That we are separate from the world, but we are inside the world to bring God's wisdom and power and strength and understanding into the world. And rather than being disappointed with God, we should be excited by him, for his ideas are different and they make sense, where the world generally will break us down and take us into darkness. We enjoy being like other people, and that we have and we like what other peoples have. We think that other people are better off than ourselves. The people of Israel were no better than us. They were a nation that looked around them. And they saw all these other nations were prospering because they had a king or kings. They were all around them. And they thought, why should we do without a king? They had forgotten that they had a king. They turned their backs upon the true king. They wanted their own. And God provided them with a king. They turned their backs upon him who loved them. But they wanted someone who they could bow and scrape to. Someone they could serve. Someone that they would pay their taxes to. So that they would support their family and all of the things, their trappings that would surround that family and their temp and the palaces in which they would inhabit. You know, as a people, we like the craziest of things, don't we? Why on earth would we put someone in that position so we could pay money to keep them? People are rarely satisfied with what they have. And most people go through times of trouble, storm, and they have to survive. But what torments them more than anything are the things that they do not have. And we as a Christian people have forgotten that we have a Lord who has cared for us, who has saved us, and has given us eternity and the storehouses of heaven which can be opened for us if we just but choose him and believe upon him and accept him into our lives. You know, you may not have everything that you want. You may have less than your neighbor. But has your neighbor got Christ in their lives? And if they haven't, then have pity upon your neighbor, even though they may have so much more. For you are a chosen people. You are a people who are righteous, who has wisdom and has eternity with Christ in their grasp and in their life. Why not be yourself and relish in the life that the Lord Jesus Christ has given you, so that he can give you more life, rather than lusting after what the world would like to give you, which would bring you death. Those people who want more than they have can be a very frustrated people, an angry people, a lustful people. And they're always ungrateful. This modern world that we focus upon, and we force our children to achieve more than we ever had, to have a better education, higher paid employment, more money, more cars, better and longer long-haul holidays, more stress and more pressure in their lives. Yet for all this ambition, which really has destroyed our families to a large extent, have forced our children to live far away rather than next to us. We forced upon our children expectations, which means they break apart because no one can live up to their expectations. So they want the latest consumer electronics, the most fantastical Disney holidays, the best cars to drive in, the salary and bonuses, so that those who earn them generally end up divorced from themselves and their God and each other. And they have no satisfaction or love and peace within their lives. They have the yoke of the world rather than the yoke of God. And in all of this, where is Christ? You know, people want the craziest things. Surely we all want peace and satisfaction. Surely we all want love and contentment. Why have we allowed the world to drive the poison of having things that we don't really need in our lives rather than a relationship with Christ? I wonder if you enjoy being on your own, or do you prefer to be with someone? Do you enjoy being in a fight on your own, or would you prefer to have someone to fight along with you? You know, the world prefers you to be on your own, but with God on your side, nothing can stand before you. So why is it the sickness you're suffering with, the problem you have in work, your marriage that you're struggling with, the fact that your relationships and those around you are falling out of love with each other, that you have a fear in your heart and it always seems growing and the things always seem that they're totally out of control? Why not cry out to the God to say, Lord, come into my life and win the battle for me? If you have God on your side, you will always win. It may be today, perhaps it'll be tomorrow. But ultimately, you will win every battle because, as been mentioned from here tonight, everything has to bow its knee to the Lord Jesus Christ's name, for he is above all things. The people had rejected God. They had rejected him who looked after them, who had kept them and fought for them. They nagged God for a king of their own, just as the other nations had. They turned against him, and he was frustrated with them. And this meant God's blessing could no longer be amongst them. For in our Bible passage it says, in those days there was no king in Israel. Everyone did what was right in his own eyes. You know, this is one of the most disturbing passages that you can read in God's word. For if God takes his blessing from you, then you're available to the trials and tribulations of the world. God said to his chosen people, okay, if you want to do it your way, go and do it your way. We all fall short. We all end up doing something wrong, sometime or another. But we can always come back and ask God to forgive us and to be the king once again in our lives and put it right. But this world today is so much worse. They have lost their measurement of what is right. They have lost the insight to what is right and wrong. Now anything goes and everything is right. To the day you can love anybody. You can have as many partners as you like. You can marry anyone you like. Men marry men. Women marry women. We all expect to sin. But we can come to our Lord and ask for his forgiveness. And he will accept us if we just obey and worship him and lay our love before him. Come to Christ. Come and find freedom. Come and find peace of mind. Come and find security. Come and be blessed. I don't want you to do what's right in your own eyes or the world's. I know from my own point of view, I do not want to do what's right in my own eyes. I wish to find purpose in a God who loves and cares for me. You see, he has a plan. He has a purpose. And rather than us fight it, let's embrace it and surrender to him so that we will know we will be on the winning side. I don't want to be fighting on the wrong side anymore. I want to be fighting on the right side. I want Jesus in my life so that I can gain all things and not be ignored by God.
We finish with a blessing. May the peace of Christ be with you. May his love for you enfold. May he place his arms around you. May your riches be untold. May you roam the straight and narrow. May you seek it all your days. May you have his hand to guide you. May you walk in all his ways. May you feel his loving presence. May he answer all your prayers. May his healing hand bring comfort. May you see that Jesus cares. May our Lord just walk beside you. May you find in him a friend. May his light shine on your pathway. May you meet at journey's end.
And as this morning, if anyone wishes prayer afterwards, please come and see me or I'm sure any of your leaders and we will pray for you. Never go away from God's house, but a blessing in your life.